Belgic Confession, Article 24, on man's sanctification and good works. The first sentence states, "We believe that this true faith, being wrought in man by the hearing of the Word of God and the operation of the Holy Ghost, doth regenerate and make him a new man, causing him to live a new life and freeing him from the bondage of sin." Through the truths that we considered in our last class, 2 weeks ago, we smashed the old hyper-Calvinist chestnut regarding progressive sanctification. You remember that they posed the dilemma, how can progressive sanctification be true if the new man can't get any better, and if the old man, being totally depraved, can't improve either? And the answer is that they have phrased the question in the wrong terms. The answer is not that the new gets better or the old improves a bit. The answer is that the new man becomes more dominant, and the old man, as to his activities, is mortified. Now, in the next 2 weeks, this one and the next two classes, we're going to further establish and explain this teaching as we look at the putting on of sanctification and the putting off of sanctification next week. And when I talk about the putting on of sanctification, I don't mean that we should pretend to be sanctified and we'll put on that we're really holy. I mean, by putting on of sanctification, the role of this activity of putting on things in or as a part of sanctification has nothing to do with pretending to be sanctified. We're not interested in pretending to be sanctified. Let's begin then with this verb in the Greek, or verbal phrase in the English, putting on. Turn with me, please, to the handout, and it mentions this phrase in the first 7 verses on the page, and there only are 8 passages. First, Isaiah 59, verse 17, referring to Jesus Christ, says, "For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak." So twice he put on, and therefore he was clad. Romans 13, verse 12, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Verse 14, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Galatians 3:27, "For as many as of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Ephesians 4:24, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Ephesians 6, verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God." Colossians 3, verse 10, "You have put on the new man." Verse 12, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." Verse 14, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." And the words "put on" in our authorized version are in italics, so that there aren't any Greek words, or there isn't a Greek word underlying it. But the context and the flow of the argument has meant that in English you supply the phrase "put on," because that carries over from the preceding verses, and the authorized version is dead right. And finally, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 8 says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation." Putting on, then, is an important verbal phrase in sanctification. Those references all came in Paul's epistles, so the idea of putting on is important in Paul's teaching on sanctification. And therefore, the idea of putting on is an important idea in our thinking and practice of sanctification. That is, if we wish to grow in grace and the knowledge through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, unless we have this idea of putting on, we will be, to some extent, hampered. Because when Paul deals with sanctification, and he writes half the New Testament, he keeps talking about putting on. And in connection with that, as we'll see next week, Lord willing, he talks about putting off other things. Now, what things does Paul speak about in the verses that I just read? What things does he say we must put on? There are four of them. There are four of them as I've classified them, and I've grouped a few things.
The
armor of God, right? That's mentioned in several places, and that's a sort of collective grouping. Anything else we're told that we have or must put on?
The new man.
The new man, definitely. New man. Anything else? Chris?
Jesus Christ.
We must put on Christ. Anything else? And I'll help you. The references to righteousness and bowels of mercies, this was the one that was more difficult. Rather than list them all, because there's humbleness of mind and so on, you'd end up, we must put on graces. That's the one way of looking at it. Now, these four things. Ephesians 4:24, ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Colossians 3:10, you have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So this new man, in both of those verses, in connection with putting on, is equivalent to the image of God. And Ephesians 4:24 and Colossians 3:10 are the two classic proof texts as to the identity of the image of God. The new man, the image of God, equivalent. As regards the second one, Christ, Romans 13:14 says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." And that verse, and its context, was a key verse in the conversion of Augustine. Take up and read. That was the voice that he heard over the garden, in the next garden over the hedge, and he picked up a Bible and he read these verses. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fill the lust thereof. And that was how the Lord brought him to faith, as he explains in his confessions. Galatians 3:27, as many as of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So we put on the new man, we put on Christ. And then there's these graces, we put on these graces. Colossians 3:12-13. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. And we're not told to put on holiness and love there. Holy and beloved is what we are as the elect of God. The elect of God are holy, and the elect of God are beloved. And those who are reprobate are neither holy or beloved. Put on bowels of mercies, 1. Kindness, 2. Humbleness of mind, 3. Meekness, 4. Long-suffering, 5. So that you forbear one another and forgive one another. Verse 14 continues, above all these things put on charity, or love, which is a bond of perfectness. For love is a perfect bond. And then, the number of references, Paul mentioned these, the The fourth thing, the armour of God. Romans 13, verse 12. Let us put on the armour of light. Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armour of God. Verse 13. Take unto you the whole armour of God. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. I find it intriguing that the putting on, four of the references are actually to the armour of God, and Ephesians 6 is a long treatment of that metaphor, putting on the armour of God, and even more fulsome than Ephesians, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. Various parts of the armour of God are mentioned. So the sanctified life of the Christian involves, in no small part, putting on these four things. Put on the new man. Put on Christ. Put on these graces. Humility of mind, kindness, etc. Put on the armour of God. How are we going to relate these things? Are they four totally distinct and separate entities that we are to put on, or are they intrinsically connected? The latter.
Yes.
The latter. Here's one way of looking at it. Let's relate these first two. The new man, according to Colossians 3, verse 10, is the equivalent of the image of God. Colossians 3 verse 10 says, you have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That is, after the image of God. And who is the image of God? Especially Jesus Christ. So to put on the new man is the new man's equivalent to the image of God. And Christ is the image of God. So if you put on the new man is that man that Christ is working in us so that we are changed and are conformed to him. So that goes part of the way. Let's look at some of these texts, because the texts themselves relate these things. Look at the verses in Romans 13. Verse 12 says, put on the armor of light. So that's number four, armor of God. And then it's called the armor of light. Light speaks of knowledge and holiness. So you're into the issue of graces. And that's opposed to, the armour of light is opposed to rioting, drunkenness, chambering, wantonness, strife and envying. The armour of light fits with walking honestly as in the day. So the armour, number four. The graces, number three. And then verse 14 continues, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 12, put on the armour of light. Verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 24. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So there's the new man, number one, and these graces, righteousness and true holiness. If you look at Ephesians 6, where verses 11 and 13 talk about putting on the whole armor of God, and the armor includes having your loins girt about with, verse 14, truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and then the shield of faith in verse 16, for instance. So there you have the armor, and then these graces. And you see where I'm going with Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, put on the new man. Number one, renewed in the knowledge, that's a grace. And then it talks about other graces, bowels of mercies, meekness, long-suffering, love, etc. And 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8, put on this armor, which consists of the breastplate of faith and love, and the helmet is the hope of salvation. So the new man involves graces. If you put on Christ, since Christ is the Holy One, that's putting on graces. And the armour of God includes graces. And if we are putting on Christ, he is our defence. They're all different ways of speaking of the same essential truth. How many put this in the form of the question. How many of those four things are involved in Isaiah 59 verse 17? For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Two. Which ones, Chris?
Christ and the armor of God.
Okay, so it's Christ who is speaking. He put these things on, so that's Christ puts on the armor of God. Anything else?
Righteousness
is the armor. And he's clad with zeal as a cloak. So you have three different things there. The only one that isn't mentioned is here Christ puts on these graces and the armor of God. We're not told here that Christ put on the new man. Why not?
That's a New Testament phrase.
It's a New Testament phrase, number one. And Christ didn't have a new man. He didn't have an old man.
He was never born again.
He wasn't born again. So, the Christian activity in sanctification is putting on, and these are the four things we must put on: the new man, Christ, graces, and the armor of God. This is the life of sanctification. It includes these things. This is the life of the Christian. We'll pause here to ask the question, do you, and nobody's going to lop your head off if you are honest and give what isn't the very best answer in the ideal world, but do you often think of your Christian life or your life of sanctification as putting on things and as putting on these things? Do you often do that? Think of it that way. My guess is you probably don't. It's a good job we're having this class to help all of us. But even though you haven't actually thought of it in these terms, that is actually what you've been doing. Every time you pray, for instance, and ask God for grace or strength, you're putting these things on. Whenever you act in faith and you look to Christ for all hope and salvation, you're drawing these things near. You're putting them on. Okay? What is this idea then of putting on? It is not that you take on something, excuse me if I go a wee bit philosophic here, metaphysical or ontological, that you take a bit of God or something. It's nothing abstruse like that. Some think it has something to do with a baptismal robe. Brian, do you think it has anything to do with a baptismal robe?
No.
This proceeds on a mistaken view of baptism, which talks about immersionism, and then they sort of sneak in this baptismal robe. Here's John Eadie in his very helpful commentary on the Ephesians. The figure of putting on has its origin in daily life, and not, as some fanciful critics allege, in any special instances of a change of raiment at baptism, or a change of raiment at the race course. I don't know what, obviously he's thinking of something there, but I don't know what fanciful critic came up with that one, or in the initiation of proselytism. So it is indeed a figure of daily life, this putting on, but it's not a baptismal robe or some robe at a race course. Maybe you put on special clothing to hop on the horse. You take off things, no? No, he's talking about putting on, though. Yeah. And it's not talking about the initiation of proselytism.
In a race course, you wear the colours of the person who holds the horse.
Maybe that's it, putting on special colours for the horse. Ascot, maybe it's putting on special clothes to come and watch the racing then. What do you think is the figure of this putting on? What do you think it refers to? Putting on what? These are the spiritual realities, but what's the figure behind it from daily life? Putting on clothes. And this is borne out in the passages on the page. The first one, Isaiah 59 verse 17, he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and armour is a special type of clothing. The helmet of salvation is head, a special hat. The garments of vengeance for clothing, and he was clad with zeal as a cloak. Ephesians 6 verse 11, put on the whole armour of God, and then verses 13 through 17 mention special types of clothing, armour clothing. This is the central idea of the Greek verb to put on. It refers to putting on clothes. If I said to you, I put on, you, with your, even apart from this class, would probably think, oh, he's going to say something, but I put on a pair of trousers, or I put on a new jacket, or something like that. You would think naturally of clothes. And so the commentators and the theologians, all the ones I looked at, apart from these ones that Ely mentions, the fanciful critics, all understood it to refer to the putting on of clothes. So, in tonight's perspective on sanctification, and we're building on the last several nights, we're saying sanctification involves putting on. It involves putting on clothing, though not physical clothing, but that's an important image, an idea of it. So when we grow in holiness, this idea of putting on clothing, and it's spiritual, what it points to spiritually, this is the way that the Lord would have us live, putting on clothing. This is what it means in part to live a new life. You're putting on clothing, and these are the clothes that you put on in sanctification. And now the question is, what is there about putting on clothing that's helpful in aiding our understanding about sanctification? Why did the Holy Spirit use this image? I have some things listed, we're going to work through them, but I'd like you to try and mention a few things if it comes to mind. Julian, you want to say
something? By nature we're naked.
Okay.
Revelation 3.
You're dead right. We'll come back to that one. Yep. Sorry, Julian, I don't want to cut you off. I'm going to bring it in later, so I'm saving.
I was also going to say that we were prior to that is we would be very embarrassed if we were naked in front of people, so we don't want people to see our sinfulness.
Very good. Very good. It's funny, when I was thinking about this idea and developing it, I read a few things, I've come up with five views, and the one you were mentioning is the last one that occurred to me. That's a good point, though.
Yeah, and that happens back to Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm. Adam and Eve. My fifth point has just been gobbled up, but that's all right. You always run that risk.
It's also something outside of ourselves.
You see, there's the tricky thing. Clothing is outside ourselves. But is sanctification outside ourselves? Not essentially, but it has effect.
It does come upon us from without,
yeah.
Could you also say that our clothing says something about us too? The type of clothing that we wear?
Yes. Now, that's an interesting point, Hilary, because I never would have thought of that by myself. I read that and then I thought it was true. Yeah. I think, and that's my third point. I think probably men wouldn't get that point as quickly. I think our clothing says more about us. It says more about some people than it does others. I don't mean that in any sneery or bad sense either. And I think it's actually proper too for women to think more about clothing.
Repelling the darts of the enemy, so it must be trying to stop something from getting someone. There's the tension ring, the particular part of your.
Okay, so now you're bringing up the area of the function of clothing. Clothing has certain functions. I mean, function of clothing. I like shirts with a pocket here because I like to have a pen with me. Okay, some clothing is defensive. Nobody here is wearing armor clothing tonight. But sometimes.
Is it literally or spiritually?
Literally, physically. Uh-huh.
You'd also dress for the climate you're in as well.
You do. Chris?
I was going to say that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, so priests go into temples, so we're supposed to dress in the inward sense of priests.
Yes, what you say is true. I'm probably going to keep those ideas of we're being temples and we're being priests and clothing together, or a part of it, especially the temple and the body. the temple and the clothing thing, but you're right. And I, Psalm 132 talking about the priests being clothed, and I mentioned two things about their clothing, but none of them were physical. Clothing them in righteousness and health and prosperity spiritually.
Can we say that this is a specific type of clothing that we've talked about here? It's actually soldiers' clothing, which is state of warfare. And
I think the idea of clothing is clothing in general. And then there's a certain subset of clothing that brings up the armor thing. Like we are wearing clothes. Obvious enough. But then there's a special type of clothing, which is armor. And often we don't even think of armor as a type of clothing, but it is, because it goes in your body and it covers your body. And it especially covers parts which are most vulnerable. Mary?
But isn't clothing outward and outward appearances?
Yeah.
And with sanctification, don't we want to avoid that idea that it's simply outward and just for outward appearances' sake?
Yes, and that brings up something Brian said earlier. Sanctification is not something outward, but it is, in a sense, visible. It comes to visible manifestation. And that points up the fact that every image of salvation, or in this case, sanctification, you can't press it in every regard, because sanctification is especially an internal, spiritual, invisible thing, though it comes to visibility in various ways. Brian?
I'm just thinking, I don't know if we necessarily don't want to show that. I think, in a sense, we do want to show those graces and things so that others may see our good works.
And glorify our Father in heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not right. Our man, we're trying to protect with our inward man, it's our inner spirit, or being renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's the tensions around your mind, and
it is.
How you think, that's where it's not an external thing, it's an internal thing.
Yeah.
It's the influence from your sinful flesh, or
uh-huh.
the thoughts that come into your mind from outside, from the devil, or whatever thoughts that come from your eyes, and you think that's the...
Yeah. Yep. So physical clothing protects us from physical attacks, and this spiritual clothing, especially with the perspective of the armor of God, protects us from spiritual attacks. Yep. I must say, your answers to this have been very good. But I don't think that my 5 points are superfluous, so we're gonna go through them. Number one, in the elements in putting on clothing that's helpful for us in sanctification, number one, putting on clothing is a basic and familiar idea to us. So when we think putting on clothing, that's something to do with sanctification. This makes it memorable and unavoidable. You have to keep on putting on clothes. So when you're putting on clothes tomorrow morning, or when you're putting on your pajamas tonight, or whatever you put on, you may think about this class, and think about the scriptures, and think about this handout, and think about sanctification when you change your clothes, especially tonight, putting on clothes. Next week, Lord willing, putting off clothes. Because if you put on clothes without putting off clothes, well, you're going to end up... you've got
32
pairs of socks on, yeah. And there are many household images in sanctification besides clothing. Right? The father chases the child in the house. That's part of sanctification. A child's love for his parents, and he grows in that. That's the life of sanctification. The fellowship of a family in a home. Sanctification. Washing. You're washing the clothes or washing yourself in the shower. Washing is a picture of sanctification. Now we have this one, putting on clothes. And then even eating. Eating, because you're feeding in the Word of God. So you're a living parable in your home, and all the basic functions, a living parable of sanctification. And you could hardly, well, I suppose if you're painting the walls in your dining room, I mean, you can't really connect that with sanctification, but many of the major activities. Secondly, not only is putting on clothing a familiar thing, you don't even have to explain it to children, although you might help them, have to help them to put certain items of clothing on. But putting on clothing is a continual thing. You don't say, I put on clothes once every year. Or putting on clothes for me is a monthly thing or a weekly thing. You do it day and daily. It's one of the first things you do in the morning, and it's one of the last things you do at night. And then if you're going to do sports, you're playing football or going swimming or skiing or something, you've got to put on special clothes. If you're going out for a big occasion, you put on special clothes, just for my information. Who here changed some items of clothing and put on slightly different items of clothing to come here tonight? Okay, I think we've had the majority. Yeah, and that means that those who didn't either came straight from work, or they just dress well through the day, whereas the rest of us typically don't.
Lazy.
Or they're lazier, yeah. All sorts of things. Yeah. Or their house went up on fire and the only clothes they have left was what they're on. Yeah, could be. So, and then whenever you go out in cold weather, you put on a coat. So hopefully that'll catch the rest who didn't come in there. So, this issue of putting on clothing, it's a familiar activity and it's a continual activity. And when do you stop putting on clothing?
Somebody else does it for you.
But even then, you're still putting on clothing, though you're not actively putting them on. So when do you stop putting on clothing?
When you're
dead. When you're dead, you will keep on putting on clothing until you die. And that's what we do. Continually in sanctification, we're putting on this clothing until we die. That's when the putting on will end. Let's move to the third point. Hilary made this point earlier. The clothing that one puts on reveals one's character. It reveals one's character. With the physical clothing of people, it reveals one's character to some extent. And with some people, it might reveal their character more than others. But it has something to say about your character, your clothing. Unless, you know, you've been mugged or something, or and somebody changes your clothing. But it has something to say about your character. But the spiritual clothing of Christians, does it reveal one's character? Our spiritual clothing? It definitely does. Our spiritual clothing definitely reveals our character, and our spiritual clothing really is our character. Our spiritual character is basically as much as we have put on these things. There's a one-to-one relationship between our spiritual clothing and our sanctification. Let's move to the fourth point, also touched on earlier. There are various purposes in putting on clothing. We mentioned function earlier. Now, people could approach this from different angles, but can you name me another purpose of clothing? There's loads of them. But there's one, I think, that has spiritual significance for our purposes. Why did you put on clothes? Functions like armor. Sorry?
Heat.
You put on clothes to keep yourself warm. You certainly do.
It's against the law.
It's against the law. Yeah, that is a reason. It's illegal to go around without any clothes. Apart from in the shower. Or that sort of thing. Any other purposes of clothing?
It's like a status symbol. Like the Queen's got her own.
It's a status symbol. Some clothing definitely is a status symbol.
Keeps you clean.
If you're cleaning the shed or something, otherwise your skin.
Yeah, when you're working on a mechanic in a car, in the oil.
It can help to keep you clean. As it keeps the dirt off your skin, and it absorbs the dirt.
Yeah. Can you picture your office or what you do or what you work at? Like for a fireman or a policeman.
Yeah, sort of an insignia. Yes. Anything else? Here's one. Clothing is for beauty or adornment. Yeah, and it's not true to say that nobody, that there are people who care, well, maybe there's one or two people, but everybody cares about their appearance. not just women. Men care about their appearance. Even men who don't care that much about their appearance or spend a long time in the mirror, everybody cares about their appearance to some degree. Even people like me. You typically don't come with your tie off centre, although I accidentally do that at times, and you make sure you want clothes to fit properly, and you want certain things to match well, and then usually you ask your wife, and then she says that doesn't go at all. And then
a woman will not go to her wedding wearing something she's going to do the housework in.
No,
it's not a wedding dress, and likewise the her husband today has put on his best suit.
Yes, there's certain.
My mother used to say, if we're going to meet the King of Kings, we should go to church and proper dress. She said
proper. Up to that, all right? Yep. So everybody cares about their physical appearance to some extent, and there are especially certain occasions when your physical appearance. Like everybody here tonight, I would assume, made some sort of an effort. Yeah. And it's actually one of the bad signs whenever someone's really, really sick, and probably when they don't even show any interest. They're such a bad way of going. They can't even make an effort to their hair or clothing or anything, because all their energy's going on just keeping themselves alive. And when somebody reaches that stage, it doesn't look as if there's much left for them. And then when somebody begins to recover, when it's a man, though they're lying in bed, they say, you know, can't I get a shave? Or if it's a woman, can't you do something with my hair? And that normal sort of life begins to recover. So let's take these four things that we're to put on. The new man, we're to put on Christ, we're to put on the graces, we're to put on the armour of God. If we were to talk about beauty or function, and you're only allowed to put each of these in one category, beauty or function, how would you do it? You're only allowed to put each one of those either gets a B for beauty or an F for function. Admittedly, the two are merged a wee bit, and even soldiers, for instance, or policemen that have a flak jacket on, you know, they're wanting to stop a bullet killing them, but they still have it sort of shaped like the body, and they want to look at least presentable. What would you say?
One would be B.
The new man is beautiful. Knowledge and righteousness and holiness, there's attractiveness there.
The second one would be B.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I would say B for the third.
B for the third one, the graces.
And
F for the armour of God. That's function. That is definitely function, the idea, because you've got to fight off the evil one and so on. So beauty and adornment, the new man, Christ, graces, it's more than that, but it's the beauty of holiness, you see. That clothing is the beauty of holiness. And the armour, well, we're in a holy war, a holy spiritual war. We're not into jihad here. And so, if we don't put on the new man, and we don't put on Christ, and we don't put on the graces, and we don't put on the armour of God, we're going to be ugly spiritually. No new man, no Christ, no graces, so to speak. And we're going to be defenceless if we don't put on the whole armour of God. And in the last point, without putting on clothing, one is naked. Julian and Hilary made this point. Physical nakedness is shameful. Genesis 3. And therefore God provided Adam and Eve with physical clothing. Also Genesis 3. Spiritual nakedness is even more shameful, yet most human beings are naked spiritually. And therefore God provides us with spiritual clothing. And the classic example of this is the church at Laodicea in Revelation 3, to which Julian referred earlier. God in Christ says to them, thou knowest not that thou art naked. Then he adds, I counsel thee to buy of me white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear. Move on to another section on putting on. Do all of those passages with regard to Christians speak of a calling that we must put on? Or are there some of these passages, and if so, which one, that speak of the fact that every Christian has put on these things in the past? Are there any verses in the handout? Galatians 3 verse 27 says, "As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And this baptism isn't the water baptism. This is the truth of spiritual baptism to which the water baptism points. Those who have been spiritually baptized into Christ at regeneration have put on Christ. Every regenerate, believing child of God has put on Christ in the past at regeneration. Is there any other verse that speaks of that? Yes. Colossians 3 verse 10 says that you have put on the new man. So Galatians 3 verse 27 says that we have put on Christ. Colossians 3 verse 10 says that we have put on the new man. Now, this idea and truth that we have put on Christ and we have put on the new man, this is a reference to something we studied earlier in these classes on sanctification. We have put on Christ. We have put on the new man at our regeneration. What did we call that? All these things are connected, you see. These classes. Definitive sanctification. This is the positive part of definitive sanctification. We have put on Christ. We have put on the new man at regeneration. Two of the texts that talk about putting on refer to that as a fact, a past fact for all Christians. The positive part is the end of sanctification, but most of the references to putting on are callings or commands to the Christian. Romans 3 verse 12, let us put on the armour of light. Verse 14, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4, 24, put on the new man. Ephesians 6 verse 11, put on the whole armour of God. Verse 13, take unto you the whole armour of God. Colossians 2 verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, and so forth, and humbleness of mind. 1 Peter 5 verse 5 talks about being clothed with humility. And 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 8, putting on, let us be putting on the breastplate of faith and love and so on. So how do you relate the fact that we have put on the new man, we have put on Christ, how do you relate that to the truth that we are also called to put on the new man, to put on Christ, to put on these graces and to put on the armour of God? Couldn't someone say, but I have put that clothing on, so how come you're telling me to put that clothing on? I did put my coat on, and what are you doing commanding me to put your coat on?
Because you're continuously doing it daily.
Yes. The very verses themselves, some of them relate this. Once and for all, in the past, you put on Christ as a new man, and you're called to put on. Ephesians 4:24. The calling there is that ye put on the new man. That's the present calling, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So you have been created in righteousness. Now you've got to keep on putting it on. Colossians 3, similar. Colossians 3, verse 10 says, you have put on the new man, past. Then verse 12 says, put on therefore. Therefore, since you have put on the new man, therefore, put on bowels of mercies and kindness and meekness and long-suffering. So we are to be what we are. We have put on the new man, we have put on Christ, and therefore we are to keep on putting on the new man and Christ and the graces and the armour of God. Final section, because we're running out of time. On that page, there are a couple of synonyms, or almost synonyms, or equivalents for putting on that have not been mentioned as such in the class so far. I'll give you a clue. 2 Peter 1 verse 5 through 7 hasn't been mentioned yet, unless we made a mistake with the handout. There has to be a reason why it's on there. What's the word?
Add.
Now let me read 2 Peter 1 verse 7 and think about the things that we're to add, and then I'm going to read some verses in Colossians 3. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. Colossians 3, 12 through 14 tells us these are the things we are to put on. Different word. Add these things, 2 Peter. Put on these things. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, so that you forbear and forgive. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So you're to put on these things, or you're to add these things. And there's a significant overlap in the two categories, the things you're to put on. For instance, charity is mentioned there, and various virtues. Temperance is a bit like meekness and long-suffering. And you could even exchange the virtues. What's the second synonym? It's mentioned in a couple of places in Paul's epistles.
Be renewed.
Look at Ephesians 4:23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man. Being renewed in the spirit of your mind and putting on the new man is basically the same thing. And I'll explain why in a minute. Colossians 3 verse 10. You have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And then think about it. Renewed, be ye renewed, and the new man. Do you see anything about those words? Renewed and the new man. Being renewed is putting on the new man. And so this clothing, when you put on the new man, that's clothing imagery. And then when it says that we are to be renewed and renewed in the spirit of your mind, the clothing might give the idea that it's external, or even merely external. It's only to be seen by others. But when we speak about putting on the new man, and that's equivalent to being renewed in the spirit of your mind, well, that's obviously internal, the spirit of your mind renewed in qualities and graces of righteousness and knowledge and holiness, which of course then reveals itself, Brian's point, externally in the manifestation of these qualities in good works. Tonight's lesson then is about putting on us as clothing, the main idea, which is very similar to being renewed and adding these virtues and graces, adding the aspects of the armor of God.